Hello and welcome to the glorious return of Boz and Baz's Penny Arcade.
Baz.
And this Boz.
Man is.
I'm Boz. That was such an official entry from you.
I figured I'd try something traditional.
That might be some of your best work.
Thanks.
That was good.
Now back to Moira in the studio.
You're wasted. I was quite impressed with that.
Thanks.
Have you been practicing?
It's been spoiled straight away because you've just started laughing for ages and we've said nothing more.
You've been practicing, haven't you?
Yeah, in the mirror.
So good.
But we're back, Boz. We're back. And it's been a while since what we're now dubbing season one, which makes this the glorious beginning of season two of Boz and Baz's Penny Arcade.
What was that TV show that came back after a hell of a long time? Was it Twin Peaks?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, this is the podcast version of Twin Peaks, I suppose.
Why not? That was quite popular.
Apparently the second season was terrible.
That happens quite a lot, doesn't it, when things are like done. They're done and dusted, and I was like, all right, that's gone. And then they've got no more ideas. Like, let's bring this back. And then it's rubbish. Remember when they brought Gladiators back?
No. There was only...
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Funny if I was talking about that the other day, actually.
This is supposed to be coming back again.
Oh, maybe that's what people were talking about, though. We were talking about a lot of the Saturday night TV shows, or like, remember Hotspot? Kids Say the Funniest Things. What else was it?
Were you just listing
Surprise?
I was gonna say. So, were you just saying you're just going through all the old Michael Barrymore shows?
No, yeah. Noel's House Party.
Wasn't a Hotspot that was Strike It Lucky, wasn't it?
Oh, is that what it was called?
Yeah, and the Hotspot was one of the things that you could land on.
Yeah, maybe then. Maybe.
Yeah. But, I remember that. I remember that mainly because as a kid, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I am, and it's going out there. I used to run past my dad shouting, "Swipe it lucky," and he would try and smack my ass. Yeah. That's how I remember the Hotspot.
Oh, we made two lows. I'm crying.
As a young child, it was a hilarious game.
Unless he caught you, obviously.
Oh, yeah. But I was quick.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Oh. See? Whilst you're out there throwing stones at people's windows.
This is up here with Wonder Woman. That's the end of the year for me. Oh, that's superb. Yeah, I mean, I never played any games like that. I feel like I had a misspent youth.
I feel, you know, there's still time, mate. Have a word with your old man.
No, like maybe I can play with the boy when he's a little bit older.
Well, you couldn't play that game with kids now. You get locked up.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. It'd be in big trouble. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. Again, I could have just kept that to myself.
No, I mean,
I don't know. It would have been selfish.
Yeah, all for shit. I mean, that's what we're here for.
Exactly.
So the people want. There's bound to be a Swedish listener or an American listener or some far-flung country. Actually, on our listening figures, what is our most popular nation? Do we know at the moment from season one?
For series one, it is still the US.
I say we want by the Americans, but they've delivered on this.
They have 51%.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. So you've got like 51% United States, 36% UK, 6% Germany, then 1% Canada. Then after that, there's a whole bunch of countries, but they're all less than 1%, which is clearly someone who's listened and gone, oh, no.
Yeah, but still, it means we've been heard around the world. Got to accept that.
Yeah. Also, like someone's listened in the Ukraine.
Not recently, they haven't. It's tough times.
True that. Spain, Peru. I do like to go and have a little look because it makes me feel like we've really, really kind of got out there to the world. When the actual reality is our all time plays is just 1144.
That's good, though, isn't it? We've hit the 1,000 mark. I respect that.
What is funny though is that, like, we haven't done this for just over a year, right? And in the last 7 days, somebody has listened.
Wherever you are, we appreciate you.
Yeah, and you know what, Boz? It's that one person that inspired me to get us back recording.
Oh.
So whoever you are, if you ever listen again, this is for you.
Yeah, especially thanks to you, because I never know my hotspot.
So Bozza, what have you been up to?
Have we done this since I moved back to Wales?
No, you haven't. We haven't. Sorry, no, because the last one we did was June last year.
Yeah, so I've moved back to Wales.
Yeah.
So this is
back to the motherland.
Yeah. So this is a what would you call it? Cross nation, trans nation. I don't know. What would you say it was?
A coalition podcast.
Yeah. It's between Wales and England now. Spread across two great nations.
And an international partnership.
I'll have to rescind my last comment. Two great nations. One great nation in England, I should say.
Oh, God, here we go.
No, yeah, so move back. And just, you know, yeah. Just
you've been doing a lot of work on the new house?
Working on the house. That's what I've got to do in the next week or so, actually. Painting and stuff, which is not going to be fun, but... yeah, it's been good. Running a lot.
What type of running have you been doing?
Long distance, as far as I can go.
But it's not just long distance, it's ultra marathons you've been doing, isn't it?
Yeah, I did one in, when did I do it? When was that? Huh. Yeah, okay, I forgot. Yeah, you came down afterwards, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
And it was me, basically it was you and me walking around Newport. And I was walking like John Wayne because I just run 34 miles. God knows what people thought. But
they've looked and gone, that little lad, he must be massive.
I couldn't walk properly. So.
I tried to make as much eye contact with people as they passed us as possible and just give them a little nod going, yep, I did that.
To be honest, though, I feel like my legs improved throughout the day. I think the alcohol was medicinal. Because I was hurting more before. But did I tell you? Because when I actually got to the bus station, there was these two lunatics. Did I mention that to you?
I can't remember, but I had There was an incident at the train station as well. So you tell yours and then I'll tell mine.
Yeah, there was this guy, right? This guy, he was huge, right? Really big bloke. He's absolutely hammered, right? He was falling all over the place, just pissed. And there was this little fella then. He was tiny, he was a skinny, scrawny fella. God, I don't know what he was into, but he, you know, he didn't look the best. And he asked this bigger guy for some money. And the bigger guy told him no. So that wound him up, obviously, the little guy. So the little guy, right, just spent the next, well, like I said, I was waiting around an hour for a bus. So he just spent the next hour basically just abusing his bloke and running away from him. And the big guy. But he wouldn't run far, like he'd just run to different parts of the bus stop and they just be shouting at each other and eventually he was just abused him. He just constantly abused him. And then he'd run away from him, sit somewhere else and abuse him again. And he'd run away and sit somewhere else. And this guy, he could hardly stand up, so he was falling all over the place anyway. But honestly, I've never seen someone. It was like he had him on a fishing rod and he was just dragging him around the place. It was hilarious. It was. I was just standing there watching it, just laughing.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Early, because it was early Saturday evening, wasn't it? So like you've had that's your day drinkers. You're going home.
Oh, some fifties around there in the night mind. Newport bus station. Christ.
Newport is a strange place because it definitely feels. Like the city centre, it definitely feels like the job is half done.
Yeah.
Like, so you've got like that nice like food hall and that. There's some nice bits around there. You got all like the new shops, shopping centre bit. It's all undercover, a bit like Cabot Circus style. There's the bit with the cinema and the some more restaurants and stuff. And then you take one more turn.
Yeah. And it's the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, it's like
I like it. Swindon is complete Hyde. Where were we? Yeah, so you've been doing loads of ultra marathons and stuff.
Running, sorting the house out, raising a child. These are and
you've
just work.
You've just made that sound like you're doing it all single handedly. Yeah. I'm just one of those, just a single parent, just you know, they tell you that you can have it all, and I really can. I'm having and doing it all.
I am. I'm getting things done, right? This is it. This is it. I'm just getting stuff done. But, you know,
getting
stuff done. I wish it was time for other stuff.
There is time for other stuff. We had a little trip to Torremolinos.
Yeah, that was very nice. I did enjoy Torremolinos.
That was good. The annual, the square, annual pilgrimage.
The square in Torremolinos was very nice.
Yeah. Nothing really there.
No. It was a bit Torremolinos was a bit nondescript, wasn't it? There's nothing that I can remember that was really.
What
nice
about the actual place? Like it's,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
You were quite enamoured by the clock tower bar.
Yeah.
You liked that?
Yeah.
You didn't like the drag show we went to so much.
I don't like drag. It's not for me. Like,
I think a drag show that is in a language that you speak would be fun. But when you don't speak any Spanish,
I just don't.
You don't speak any, don't speak any Spanish. You've been drinking all day. Go to a Spanish drag show. It's not really the best idea.
No.
And what I liked as well was just like their perseverance to put on a show, because the venue was basically an alleyway. It was an alleyway that had like a roof over it, because it was between this row of shops, and it was really really thin. There were about 10, 12 rows of two seats on either side, and then a little bar at the back, and the tiniest stage just to the side with two drag queens on.
I just don't get it. That's the thing for me. I just don't. I don't get it. It's not my type of humor.
Well, how do you know? It was in Spanish.
Double Dragon General.
I've not, this thing is, like, I've not seen a proper drag show in English, to be fair. But I suppose it's, you know, it's a lot of, like, innuendo and all that. So it's just silly, isn't it? A bit of fun.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, hey, live and let live.
But, yeah, that, what else did we do? Oh, I mean, a highlight for me was when we went to the beach. So we went to the beach. There's four of us. Me, Boz, and Mills and Ramsey, the other two boys. Oh. And we've been in the sea for ages. And then we've decided, right, we're going to get some food. We're going to have some drinks at this like beachside bar. And we sat there for a while. We've had all our food, our drinks. And then we go to leave. And Ram says, oh, it's really uncomfortable sat there. Were you uncomfortable? And we were like, no, that's
fine.
Absolutely fine. And then we've taken a step out of the restaurant to kind of like the promenade bit as we start walking along, and we realize it's just the three of us. We turn around and Rams is kind of fiddling with his shorts and just pulling in, suddenly like just a huge pile of stones just falls out of his swimming shorts. Just, but like, they're just, I think it's probably more like the way I remember it now is just like it was a constant stream for like 5 minutes. Like his boxes, like his swim shorts were just completely full of stones and he didn't realise.
He basically had a quarry in his pants.
That was a particular highlight for me. Also,
the bill, you know, for that place weren't an highlight. Christ,
It was not. It was the exact opposite of the one we had in Tenerife, where we were like, oh, we had all this and it only cost us €200. We're like, hang on, we didn't really have that much and it still cost us like €250.
It's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? Absolutely robbed us blind, isn't it?
That was gross. I picked up that same day, I picked up my my beautiful sliders for the rest of that trip.
Those beige things.
Big, beige, foamy. They're so comfy.
They did look comfortable, mind.
Especially after I bought these nice white Lacoste ones for, they'll be nice. But they slide just turned up and they're like real hard plastic and they're real narrow. And just after about like 20 minutes of walking, I was just in so much agony. I just had to buy these cheap €10 sliders.
They were just they were like Crocs without holes in, weren't they?
Just clouds, mate. They were just clouds.
They weren't good to look at. But the funny thing is, as soon as you bought them, I started seeing other people wearing the exact same ones everywhere.
Yeah, baby. Absolute trendsetter.
They were popular.
Mate, that's it. Just got this, just running this fashion game.
On about that. On about your fashion game.
Yeah.
That's a nice segue. Let's talk about your thrift shopping.
What? You mean my extreme hip-hop clothing line?
I mean your thrift shopping.
Nah, it's extreme hip-hop.
I mean,
it's just me. I went, so on Friday, I had the day off. Me and Phoebe went to Bristol, went to a bunch of like vintage shops, and just tried on a few things.
I mean,
a few gangster things.
Some of them are impressive as well, I got to say. When you get the fur, you're in business, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's, you know, that's why it's extreme hip hop, mate. That's when you're, you know, I'd say it's more East Coast as well. The furs. I definitely put that more with East Coast. It's too hot on the West Coast to be wearing furs.
What rappers would you align yourself with? Who do you think?
Diddy, B.I.G.
Would they be your rap fashion heroes?
I don't know about rap fashion heroes, but definitely if I was wearing, you know, in that jacket, that's pretty much the vibe I was giving off. Like I think I said, because I'd posted it on my Instagram. I'll put them up on the Instagram. But I put it, yeah, it obviously links to Facebook and that. And somebody had asked, had commented, and I said, look, I'm 60% B.I.G., 40% Pat Butcher. Perfect. It's the perfect blend.
What? Are all the clothes like washed?
I guess so.
I'm curious.
It was a nice shop we were in.
Yeah.
Urban Fox. Shout out Urban Fox. Anybody in Bristol happens to be listening to this, get yourself down there, get yourself a nice. Well, I'm not even going to lie. Obviously, it was a woman's coat.
It was a woman's coat, wasn't it? I was just going to ask you that. It was, wasn't it?
Of course it was.
Yeah. I see. I bet is it a good selection of hats as well? That's an
extra. Yeah. Do you know what? I don't really kind of look into the hats too much because I very much stick to kind of baseball caps, and I've got an all right kind of little
hat like Jamiroquai. That's what you need.
Yeah, maybe that. Yeah, big headdress. Although I mean, nowadays I bet people wouldn't be happy if he was wearing like a big Native American headdress, but he'd just have to stick to his like trilbies and stuff.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I don't know if things like trilbies and stuff work for me. Caps, maybe. Nah. Flat caps were all right.
Yeah, and flat caps were.
Me or beanie. And but
definitely female coats with fur on it. That's a look you've got down. I got.
Yeah, where it all started was last year. Me and Phoebe went to all three of us went to TK Maxx, and Tazbaz was like looking. She's looking through things, having a proper rummage around, and I was a bit bored, and I found this because I like it when you go to like outlets and stuff. I like finding all the most hideous things that I can find, and the first thing I found was this like so it was sort of like leopard print, cheetah print, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Some sort of animal print.
Yeah.
Actually, no, looking at it, more with a snake skin.
Well, I was like, how can you get them confused?
I just remembered the colours being brown, mate. I just had to get the picture in front of me.
But was it furry?
No. So this is... this one is like... It's like a real, like, plasticky puffer jacket.
It sounds gross.
With a this is like this plasticky puffer jacket with like a puffery kind of belt on it, and that was the first.
That's where it started for you.
That was the start of extreme hip hop.
And now you is that now, is that where you started thrift shopping off?
No, that's just something Phoebe likes doing. We go to lunch. She likes going to London and going to vintage shops. So,
how does she react to you? Does she take the pictures? Yeah.
Yeah. She takes the pictures.
Yeah. That's nice.
We're just playing around. We just like to play. But then, yeah. So then after that, I was looking through like the men's coats and stuff, and there was like a Rugrats like hoodie, a hooded coat, had like big like Chucky Finster and like Reptar and all of that on it. Then there was like a Garfield one, which was same nice. Style.
Garfield
on it. And then there was like this, it was like a baseball jacket and it was like pink with like blue and like explosions and stuff. I mean, I didn't buy any of these things, or even though like Tanya and Phoebe are like, well, you should get that. Particularly the big snakeskin puffer. And to be honest, it was super warm and I was tempted. I was like, yeah, this is a woman's coat, but I'll look ace in it. And it's
I think one day you're gonna have to just buy one of these things, isn't it?
You're gonna
have to scratch that itch.
The next one I did was the one I was when we were in Fuerteventura in February, and we're in what's the shop called? It's like called like Bushka or something like that. And it was this. It's this big, like, hairy, furry, white jacket. So I thought, obviously, I'm gonna have to whack this on. This is definitely falling under the extreme hip hop banner. So pop that one on, but I didn't post that one until after we went into Bristol on Friday because I'd just kind of forgotten about it.
That was a winner, in fairness.
It's yeah, I do like that one. But yeah, the like leopard print Pat Butcher number, that's it's just a casual itch, wear that any day.
Think Macklemore. That's where I see it. When I saw it, I thought, yeah, that's Macklemore thrift shop. That is,
yeah, that is, it's on the nose. It's very on the nose as well.
yeah. It's a good look, like. But I think you need to start backing it up, not just taking the pictures. I think you need to start buying these things and wearing these things permanently. Could you imagine walking on Bristol in that number?
No one would bat an eyelid, mate.
Oh, I think they would.
Bristol's all vibey in that. They don't care. No,
very cosmopolitan.
Yeah. Swindon people be like, what are you wearing?
Do you think Bristol would be more accepting of it?
100%.
Yeah, maybe. Just because it's a city, though.
It's just a bit more vibey, mate.
I don't think there's a town up and down the country that would be accepting of it.
No. Not little provincial towns like Swindon.
Nah. Come to Newport, innit?
Well, that, I don't know. I reckon if I had like that with like a hoodie underneath or something, people would be like, that's fine. He's warm. He's warm, guys. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Accessorize.
It's absolutely become, yeah. I remember once we were actually in Swindon Town Centre and there was a woman that came out of Primark and she was head to toe in leopard print.
It's just bold, isn't it?
But it was all slightly different as well. What slightly mean? Different shades. But she had like a she had a hat. It was the summer as well, so but it was real hot, but she had like a big
roasting.
She had a big thick coat on. Yeah. She was wearing a leopard print top. The trousers were leopard print. Even on the shoes, they were like black, and then the front instep. I don't know the laces. That bit.
The instep.
That's the instep. I'm just thinking of my football boots.
Yeah.
The laces, not the instep. That's the side bit. The in bit, obviously. But the laces bit. That bit was all like leopard print as well, so it's like, and socks as well, because you could, because her trousers were short, so you could see her socks. She was absolutely dripping in leopard print. Even her shopping bag she was carrying was leopard.
Did it work for her?
She looked mad, so it depends on what she was aiming for. If she was looking for that mad look, she fucking nailed it.
Could be worse. Like, is that guy?
She's walking down the street and everyone's going, she's fucking mad.
Do you remember that guy that tattooed himself like a cat, like a leopard? Why do you remember this?
Was this in Swindon? Because I've got like a little collection of.
No, I don't think
Swindon oddballs like in the old memory banks. Like there's a guy called Sid the Kid.
Yeah, go on.
When I first came across Sid the Kid, he walked around the town centre, doing one of two things. One, he would just really loud. He wore a cowboy hat.
Oh yeah.
That had like a broken bike reflector on it with a feather in it, and then he would walk around. And every now and then he'd just go, yeah. Does that other times he wore a t-shirt that had the, I think it's a Roy Chubby Brown song, Alice on the front, and on the back it said, who the fuck is Alice?
Oh, brilliant.
So he'd be wearing that t-shirt and just walking around going, Alice, who the fuck is Alice? So Sid the Kid. Also I found out that he was like, and some of the other, and the other boys know him as well, but he was a massive fan of the Moonrakers, which was a pub used to live, around where I grew up. And he like went to every single one of their Sunday league like football games for like, he didn't miss one in like 40 years.
That's well.
And I think he used to do it, and I think he watched bunch of games like in Rorton or Chiseldon as well. I kind of did the same thing for these two teams, like a Saturday and a Sunday, and that was his thing. But like, I think I heard that for the Moonrakers, he went to every game for 40 years and everybody hated him.
Oh, that's very nice. Kind of
sad. It's kind of sad.
That's pretty awful.
Yeah. There's also, I was in town once and there was a man just walking around, just, you know, doing his going to shops and stuff, just had a parrot on his shoulder.
The guy that I was on about is a fella called the Leopard Man.
Oh, yeah, I see him.
He lived on the Isle of Skye. He's from London. And he, yeah, completely tattooed all over. I think he had more tattoo. I think he was like in the Guinness Book of Records for being, you know, one of the most tattooed, like, percentage of his body.
I feel like
his name was Tom Leopard. I don't think he was born Tom Leopard. I think I assume he changed that.
No, I think that is his name because it's Leppard.
No, his real name was actually Woolridge. Very.
Ah, shame.
Tom. Woolridge.
There was a guy who was involved at the football club I played for when I was a kid, and his name was Derek Leopard. It's about the same. He's a caretaker. You know.
Shout out to Derek.
Derek Leopard. Not a leopard tattoo on him. Yeah, so just quickly going back to that guy with the parrot.
He's walking
around town, parrot on his shoulder. You think, oh, that's a bit weird. And then you walk past him and then you look back and see that he's got bird shit all down his back.
Oh, that's gross, isn't it? But that used to annoy me. I was going to Coldwater Park. It used to be this guy, he'd always feed the pigeons. He'd be grubby, the shit over him. It's like, stop feeding pigeons, man.
Like that woman from Home Alone 2.
Yeah, Steve Bruce.
Yeah, Steve Bruce in Home Alone 2. Yeah. And then I was coming to meet you for dinner once with the other lads. I was driving down the road. It's just literally just outside Swindon Town Centre. And I saw this guy who's maybe like early 20s walking down the street. It's summertime.
Hmm.
And on his shoulder, just a lizard. And then as I got level, I had a quick look to the side. Lizard had a bow tie on.
No, you're making this up.
I swear on my life. I swear on my life. It's the lizard with a bow tie on.
And you've only now mentioned this.
I mentioned it to you on the night. You all kind of like just went, yeah, whatever, and just carried on. Yeah. And I'm like, hang on a minute. It's a guy walking around town with a lizard on his shoulder wearing a bow tie. Not the man, the lizard. The lizard is wearing a bow tie.
Did the man have a bow tie as well?
No, but I think he had one of those t-shirts with a waistcoat that had a waistcoat printed on it.
Oh, that's even worse.
And you know what? Even if he didn't have that, that's how I remember it. But yeah, man with a lizard on his shoulder, bow tie. There you go. So anybody who's been wondering what's been going on in the last year.
What's the context to it, though? Why?
I don't know. He's just walking somewhere.
Where was this in Swindon?
So this was Westcott Place. So it's just as you're coming down to Farringdon Park, like...
Going
into the town centre. Again, geographical Swindon locations mean nothing to anybody.
No.
So does Swindon. But, yeah. Man, lizard.
Bow tie. In that order.
It's nice. I imagine they're going on a date.
I don't even know what to say. You can't have mentioned this to us.
I did. I absolutely did. But
and we obviously thought you were chatting through your backside. We must have.
Yeah, didn't really like acknowledge it at all, and I left feeling quite deflated from that. But then something else happened afterwards. This was the night we went to Rio's, the Brazilian barbecue. And you know what happened? What we discovered there, but which was incredible.
Do I?
Remember, we then walked to the car park. We're walking to.
I'm with you now. I'm with you now.
I just won't mention any names, but basically, we've walked down this street in the bottom of town in Swindon, and there was this place that used to be in a nightclub called Angelo's, which is like,
it was
like the worst club in town. Really, it was grubby, it was gross. One point it was a strip club, but that lasted about like 2 years, and then it just closed down. It was closed down for ages, and we've walked past and the front door was open, and we're all a bit like, oh, what's going on there. And I suddenly saw somebody who I was actually working with at the time.
Yeah, you knew the guy.
Quite sort of a shy bloke and stuff. I didn't really think anything of it. But I walked over to say hello to him, and he was being really like
sheepish.
Yeah. And as I was talking to him, I think you guys were talking to the bouncer, because there was a bouncer there. So I'm talking to him, and he's being all like real
which is an unusual thing, like, for a middle of the week in the summer, and, you know, having a bouncer on the door, nobody really around.
Yeah. From what I knew about this guy, like, from his like personal life, he was very he was into lots of different things, quite, you know, he loves his Doctor Who and all those sorts of things, but like he arranges lots of like village activities and things. He lives outside of Swindon, and so seeing, I was really just surprised to see him there. I wasn't expecting to see him. I kind of wasn't really taking in everything that was going on around me, and it wasn't until we were walking away and you boys were talking about what the bouncer said. So basically, he said, I said, oh, what are you doing? He said, oh, just a little party that I've arranged. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, excellent. I was like, well, have a brilliant time. I'll catch up with you at work tomorrow. And he was all like red face and stuff. And I thought, I just walked away thinking he is being weird. Then you guys have then filled me in. That's a swingers club. And I'm like, oh wow. And then it was only then that I was thinking, I was going back to kind of talking to him, I realized he was behind him as well. I don't know if this person was trans or if they just like to cross dress or whatever, but it just didn't register as I was talking to him.
You're in risky territory, yeah.
Well, yeah, well, you know, you do what you want to do, be who you want to be. I don't care. But it was just that thing of like, because I was so baffled by him being so weird with me, I wasn't really noticing everything else that was going on around me. No. And just kind of walked away. And then it was only after you guys said what it was. And then I just kind of, my brain went, oi, did you not see that? And then I'm like, oh, yeah. And I was like, you kinky boy.
it's truly amazing how you can spot a bow tie on a lizard on a man's shoulder. But you couldn't spot what was clearly in front of your eyes.
It's just because I was just so like, I just watched him go, I don't know why he's being so weird. And then you boys are gone, that's a swingers club. I was like, oh, that's why he's being so weird. And then
that's
it all started to like,
weird.
Yeah, it all started processing. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. hell of a spotting things that was.
He's happy. He's happy. You got, you know.
Exactly.
But very sheepish. Did you ever see him again?
Oh yeah, I did see him again, but I didn't know. What do you say?
Yeah, what do you say?
Oh, really good to see you the other night. Didn't realise that place was a swingers club and you arranged parties there.
Well, I mean, I suppose that's something you could say, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what was funny, because that was that just before COVID or during COVID?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm thinking during.
I think it was like when things were open. Yeah, no, things were obviously opened back up again because we went to bloody buffet, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were having a party. So I think it was once things were open, and it was like, because, but some people were still wearing masks and stuff, because the next time, so the next time I saw him like away, so the next time I saw him outside of work, I'd actually left. And I was, I was in Sainsbury's, and
did he speak to you like that?
He was weird again then, but
because you knew, you knew about what he was
maybe I was weird, but like I saw him, and I think it's more because
you're such a prude, Liam.
No, it's Sainsbury's on a Saturday afternoon, and I saw him coming towards me, and I knew it was him, but he looked like somebody who's like in a dystopian apocalyptic future. So like, you know, you've watched Logan.
Wolverine,
You know Steve Merchant's character in that?
Yes.
Caliban, that's it. And that's all very like, it's a dystopian kind of Western, isn't it, type vibe.
Yeah.
And there's a point where he's like outside, and he's got like this big scarf like wrapped around him, because he's like, he can't be out in the sun because he's so pale and stuff. So he's got this bit, he's got like goggles on, big scarf like wrapped around him and everything. And so he's got his mask on. Fair enough, people wear masks. Some people still do wear masks, and that's cool. That's their choice. That's cool. But he had like...
Thanks for clarifying that.
He had... I just want people to know I'm not digging him out. I'm not having a go at people who wear masks.
I don't know. But, sometimes I see him now in the middle of nowhere, I think.
people are scared, mate. But so he had this like big coat on.
This shadow.
He had fucking gloves on as well. Massive gloves.
He's,
just wrapped he's up, in, hood up. Scouts like,
he's into weird stuff.
Yeah.
He is into weird stuff.
Yeah, he might have had something in as he was doing his shopping, maybe. But who knows? But yeah, it's just a weird guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like you could add him into the two other people you just spoke about. The guy with the...
The leopard man, and
the guy with the...
Parrot man, the lizard man.
Parrot man, lizard man.
Just be like a...
Swinger weird... man.
The swinger man. That sounds like... That's like the Wicker Man. It's like, oh, the Swinger Man will come and get you. Make sure you tidy your room, children, because the Swinger Man's coming.
The Wicker Man's pretty sinister, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's the Swinger Man. Make sure you're satisfying your wife, Jonathan, otherwise the Swinger Man will come and take her away.
I'm bloody off now.
Boss is the Swinger Man.
It's good that he's into Swindon's quite a liberal free society, and good for him.
Who knew? He's part of Swindon.
I bet he is. You were probably the last person he expected to see that night. And then it was so funny because you were chatting to him normally, weren't you? He's like, that's hilarious. Yeah, that is hilarious.
I just thought, I didn't really sort of think about it and just chat. The thing is, I think he probably thought, oh no. He's
going
to tell everyone at work.
He's wearing massive gloves as a disguise, I reckon. Just didn't want you to see him in that Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
He shouldn't have walked directly at me then.
No, that's true, yeah. It's a terrible theory, actually. Yeah.
I was like, I know it's you.
Yeah, but...
I can tell by the way you walk. You're a swinger man. No time to talk.
Maybe he thinks he's like Jason Bourne and you just blend into any surrounding area. You know.
Oh, God. He won't see me. I'm in all green.
I've been trying gloves on. You'll never notice me.
The thing as well is that it's like, I looked at him and it's like, there's literally no one else in the world that would go out like that. But yeah, there he is. There he is.
You've been dressed at a bad butcher in recent times. So. I don't feel like you can pass judgment to.
If I made that, like in the words of Will Smith in Men in Black, I make this shit look good. He did not.
No, that is debatable. No, but yeah, that's
you really look bad. Back at those pictures. No,
some of them are good. Some of them are good. Are they called gang signs? Is that what we call them?
Yeah, there's clearly one there where you can see that, I don't know, I clearly don't belong to a gang, because I've got one hand where I've got like two fingers out, like, yeah, peace. And then the other one, I've got a thumb out as well. I'm not even doing rock, paper, scissors. I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I was thought I was doing shadow puppets and I was doing a dog. I used to say.
It's just like you're giving some of the coolest thumbs up ever.
I've found as I've got older, there's not really a way for me to say this without sounding like an absolute idiot / maniac. I don't really have control of my thumbs.
What do you mean you don't control your thumbs?
Well, I will just thumbs up, like for no reason, like overly thumbs up. Hey, like just.
It sums up my thing.
Yeah, end of like a work call, be like, yeah, cheers. Don't need to do that. See somebody across the street, yeah, thumbs up. Oh, what are you doing, idiot?
I nod. I when I'm running up and down the track, right, I see people. I raise my eyebrows to them. That's why I found I've been doing it. Because I don't want to go in for the full nod, because some people are really ignorant.
Yeah.
But it's like, look at them and give them the eyebrows up. Like, yeah. Fellow runners. I will give the odd thumbs up if they give me the thumbs up first. I ain't committed first, though. I ain't going first.
What I've noticed recently as well, I'm having real issues with, you know, like when you take an order from some, like take a takeaway in or like from somebody, I'm having real issues with that interaction in the sense that they will give me the food and I'll be like, oh, thanks very much.
Oh.
They'll say, you're welcome, enjoy your food. Nah. And I then feel like I have to have some sort of pleasantry come back. So they'll go, enjoy your food. And I'll go, you too. Like, I've said that in like the last, like, 10 takeaways.
I had, nah, see, they got it down to a T. I ordered a curry the other night, right?
Yeah.
He banged the door.
Yeah.
I opened the door to pick it up, and he was already round the corner. All I could hear is, he just shouted, you know.
I would appreciate it. That.
Yeah.
I'd appreciate that.
He had it nailed. Yeah, because you don't want that. It's like I with Domino's, though, isn't it? And they're trying to drag the pizza out the little black bag.
Yeah, and it's a bit worse at our house as well. It's worse at ours because the front door, like, we don't open it anymore. We could make them come around the back, but that feels like a real ball ache. So instead, we just take it through the window. So if you get a pizza. So, yes, yeah, so I already look mad because I'm opening the window. There's a door there, and I'm opening the window going, yeah. Door don't work.
Why don't you open your door?
Because sometimes. Once you unlock it, once you open it, you can't lock it again.
Ah, right. Yeah.
So now it's just locked until we get a new door fitted. It's just locked because we use the back anyways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the front door is pointless, other than the takeaways. But that doesn't matter now because I take them through the window like fucking Rapunzel. just hanging out the window, just taking in my takeaways. But then when you get like, when you get pizza, it doesn't quite fit through, so you have to go diagonally. And I think that's why I get caught up in the enjoy your food, you too, because I'm kind of like flustered by the trying to get everything in, and the fact that I'm hanging out of a window for my dinner.
Just say thanks, thank you.
Yeah, but I'd say that first.
Have a good evening or something like that.
It's because they added enjoy your food. I feel like I should say something nice back to them. So I say, you too, knowing that they don't have any food.
Exactly. So just we change it up. Just go for a simple thanks. Oh, no, just say thanks. I will. That might be...
I mean, not like that, because you sound like a murderer. Enjoy your food. Thanks. I will.
I think that's a reasonable response.
Maybe not in that specific tone.
No, like I said, the guy the other night, he was spot on. He just left it on the floor by the door, and he was around the corner. They also put a bit of cardboard in to separate the mint sauce and the bags of salad, which Indian restaurants persist in putting in. Nobody is separated that from the actual hot food, which I thought was a nice touch. But the bags of salad, they need to go, don't they? Nobody has ever eaten a bag of salad from an Indian.
Phoebe eats them all the time.
Well, you're doing something wrong then.
She likes salad. She likes a bit of iceberg.
Yeah, but salad in a bag is wrong.
What do you want them to do, Boz? Just give it to you loose?
No, they should put it in like a, if it was in a container, I think I'd be more inclined to eat it. But they put it in a bag, don't they? They put it just in a tiny, it's almost like a poo bag, like a...
It's just a little sandwich bag.
It's not, what do you call it, the bags you take for your dog and stuff.
Yeah, a poo bag, you nailed that one first time.
That's what it is.
It's like a little excrement sack.
It is. And they just fill it with one giant tomato.
Massive, the thickest wedge of cucumber.
Yeah, it's a huge thick wedge. Yeah, that's it.
And a big old wedge of lemon.
There's always a big wedge of lemon. And, you know, the most wilted lettuce ever. It's not good. Like, they'd save themselves a fortune. I can't imagine. Could you imagine, right? Yeah, look how much money they'd save, right, on lettuce and vegetables, right? And nobody has ever phoned them up and gone, no one's ever going to phone up and go, you gotta put my salad in. Where's my complimentary salad that comes with my curry? What's going on? No one's ever had that conversation.
I reckon that's happened now.
Of course it hasn't happened. Where? Who's doing that?
People are booting off about it all the time.
I don't think so. I think you probably boot off about it because it wouldn't be up to your exacting service standards.
Salad? Come on. Anyway, enough about that. You wanted to talk about, you know, we don't talk about football too much on here because otherwise it would kind of dominate all of our conversation, and that's just kind of... just general chit chat for us anyways, but we have the world's saddest fantasy football league. Definitely. Which is
gonna be four teams strong now though,
the two of us. Yeah, this is the third season we've done it. First 2 years we both just had a team each, and I am the double champ. Then this year we decided we were going to put an additional team in each, but we weren't going to touch it.
Yeah, I think that would be beneficial for me. After the first game, after the first weekend, right?
Yeah.
I say after the first weekend, after the Saturday. It was after the Saturday. I felt like Alvarez had done a job for me, scored a goal, but I thought against Newcastle, I thought he wouldn't play him. I just didn't think he would play. No, he didn't score a goal, he got an assist, and I just didn't think he'd play him. So I thought, I'll take him out, and I'll put in, who did I put in?
You put in Nketiah, I think.
Yeah, I did. I put in Nketiah, that's right.
Who had scored the previous week.
But then, yeah, but then what I find out between doing that and everything else, Reece James is properly injured. John Stones is still properly injured. Bernardo Silva goes down. Bernardo Silva goes down with a cold.
But that's what your bench is for, Boz.
Yeah, but oh, that's my bench obliterated.
But your bench then came through for you.
Yeah, but
Pedro Porro?
Yeah, he did come on. He did come on. But what I'm saying is, I do this all the time. I will make my subs before the week's out. Like, I make my subs during the match week, which is stupid. I need to stop. I need to wait, assess the situation, and then make my subs. I should be making subs on a Thursday, not on a Saturday. Can we agree on that?
And when you say not on a Saturday, you mean not on the day after the game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd leave mine kind of as late as possible. I have a look at like stuff on like Instagram and stuff and TikTok, because there's loads of like FPL people and things out there. Get a bit of inspiration.
I was like, then, what do you mean? What do you mean FPL people? What's this?
There's literally loads of people that take FPL incredibly seriously.
What, and you copy them?
I don't copy them. I just try and, because they get like, sometimes some of them have like, can get like team news. They make suggestions of like, oh, these are like good differentials you could put in, or remember, there's a double game week coming up. So they're the things I forget a lot.
Oh, yeah. What's a good differential? Explain that one.
Well, this is a term that they put in there, but basically, when they say like a good differential, it's generally like, it just means like, oh, this is like a cheap person who can probably pick you up a few points. So, like last season, the likes of like Matoma and Mbeumo were like, they're cheaper options to like your premium players that will still pick you up points.
Yeah.
And I think, I think he'll get loads of points for like this season at West Ham.
Exactly.
That's absolutely with his quality of dead ball. A David Moyes team. Ah,
imagine you got two assists on there, didn't he?
Imagine Marouane Fellaini was young now.
I know.
It was young Marouane Fellaini in that. From his Everton days in that West Ham side with David Moyes now, he would be having the time of his life. But you think, to be fair, he had a few seasons of just loads of like quality balls from Arteta, having a lovely old time with him and Tim Cahill.
Yeah, that's when Everton last good, wasn't it?
So I'll have a look at that. Ultimately, like, I will just do whatever I want to do.
I do think that's cheating, by the way. I think you should make your own decisions.
I do make my own decisions. I just go around and think, oh, what's
sounds to me like
people
you,
saying?
Sounds to me like your team is based on some guy on Twitter.
No. My team is based on me going. What you find as well, though.
What's going to happen? Go on.
Most people do exactly the same thing. So if you look at like all the people that are like at the top of the fantasy football, like the main fantasy football leagues and everything,
yeah,
they're all doing pretty much the same thing.
Yeah,
it's all just around when they play, like who they have as captain that week. Just think, because it's always like, oh, who should we have as captain this week? Is it Haaland? Is it Kane? Is it Salah? For me, it's just Haaland. Like, yeah, he'll have a couple of like lean weeks and stuff, and then he'll bag like three or four. So you're kind of all right just picking up a couple of fours.
Are you going to stick for Haaland for the season?
Most of it, mate, I would imagine. Obviously, in my Leave It Alone team, that one, he's captain in that.
Yeah, you can't change captain, can you?
Can't change anything in that team.
Yeah, I've gone hard.
What I would just like to point out to you as well, I like doing this to you. 10 points on the bench with Areola The only sub that you had.
I know.
I think and everyone was going for Onana.
I don't think
he's going to be the one for any of us.
Ariola, 10 points. He saved a penalty, didn't he?
Yeah.
Joe Pedro is the worst. Well, no, I thought, I said Joe Pedro is Martinez is the worst thing. Minus one. Martinez, if you look at Martinez's stats, right, his points per match is minus 0.5. He's 218 out of 218 ranking for defenders. He's the worst defender in the game, and I've got him.
Yeah, but you had him for most of last season as well. What is it about him that makes you want to put him in?
Loyalty.
What, loyalty to him as a man or to Manchester United?
United. And he was having a tough
Pick
time.
Pick someone else.
I feel sorry for him. He was having a rough time at the start of last season.
No, he wasn't.
He was. Start of last season.
He started absolutely fine.
Last season, I remember when he got smashed into the net at...
yeah, but that's because Bournemouth. He's a twat.
No, not Bournemouth. Brentford.
Big Brentford bully boys.
Yeah. But I will have to take
it. Do you...
And he's lost 0.1 of a million now, so I can't sub him. I'd be like admitting defeat.
Is it? Do you have him in there because you like him as a player in actual football?
Yeah, that's part.
But
of it,
don't reconcile the fact that he doesn't actually score you many points. So instead of you want to maintain like some loyalty to Man United, so instead of having Luke Shaw in there, who when at left back could potentially get forward and get you an assist, you go with Martinez, who's likely to finish on minus one.
Luke Shaw is 0.5 more expensive. And I refuse to go for people like, I refuse to go for trendy players as well. Like people who are slamming Estupin Nan in their team. I just think, no, I ain't doing that. That's not.
So this is what you'll never win.
I'm not doing it. I'm going to be...
I only want people who are underperforming.
Who's
having a really good season? Fuck them.
I'm going to stick with the dinosaurs of football. I'm not going for people like a stupid man. And I know you've got him. And that's exactly...
You've gone for Pedro Porro.
Yeah. He's solid, mate.
He's not even a regular starter.
He is. He was last season.
No, he wasn't. He kept getting dropped for Emerson Royale.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
I'm going to look into this now. No, he did not. When he came in January and he played a lot of the games.
He was rubbish.
Pedro Porro, he was good.
Rubbish.
Hang on, you say
I'm not going for trendy players, then you've got Saka, Salah, Rashford, Son, Saliba.
No, but they're established players. They're established.
João Pedro.
They're established players. João Pedro,
Isak.
They're established players. Stupinan is trendy. Anyone who plays with Brighton's a trendy player. Anyone who plays with Brighton and Bournemouth, trendy players.
I don't think Bournemouth have any trendy players.
Brentford. I keep getting Brentford and bloody Bournemouth mixed up.
I'll tell you who has been rubbish this season. Bruno. Absolute dog shit.
Fernandez.
Before we started this, you were quite impassioned about speaking about FPL, but I feel you're quite subdued now. So what was it that you wanted to talk about?
Just
the fact that it's not worked out as you wanted to at the start of the season.
It never does, though, does it? Because what will happen, right, is you'll get 100 points in front, and then it'll stay at 100 points the rest of the season. It'll be like, actually, I can't work. And just for clarity, Pedro Porro started 13 of the last 17 games for Spurs last season.
Fair enough. How many did he finish?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He came off in the 81st minute once, the 77th once, the 86th once, and the 81st once.
Fair enough. I stand corrected.
Still, oh, and a 75th.
Still, he's not the one, mate. He's not the one. He's not the man for you.
I know what you're doing to me now. This is reverse psychology. You know I'm going to keep winning the team the entire season now because of this conversation. I know what you're doing to me.
I'm not doing it. I'm just telling you, he's not the man for you. He's not going to give you what you want and what you need.
Sure,
he gave you 6 points this week, but he's not going to be there for you throughout the season.
The only person in my team that I genuinely dislike is Son. The rest I can live with.
Because he's an arsehole.
Yeah.
I hate Son.
I don't even know why I've got him, because he hasn't been playing exactly well. And he cost 9 million.
Get rid.
Yeah.
Get him, Bueno.
He has got a few easy games upcoming, though. He's got Bournemouth, Burnley.
He had an easy game this weekend.
And Sheffield. Whoa. Come on now. You're better than that. That's cheap. Nketiah is here to stay for a while, I think. I like Eddie. He's solid. Good player. I'm going to go Rashford captain for next weekend, though. Because his form has shown that's a brilliant decision.
Definitely the one to do. Definitely.
I'm fuming
off. Haaland.
Haaland's going to score 6 against Sheffield United, didn't he?
Can't wait for that.
That is going to happen as well now.
Yeah.
And
look, I think we need to draw a line under our FPL chat here, mate, because otherwise we could go on for ages. I think basically what we're saying is within the next, 3 or 4 weeks, I'll be 100 points ahead and that'll be a game over, yeah?
Yeah, essentially. I generally think, right, that my team that I won't touch has got a better chance of winning this than
well, that's the sad thing, isn't it? But already we're 2 weeks in and the team that, like for me, the team that I've decided that this is my team that I don't touch.
It's top of the league.
It is, yeah. Only by 2 points, though. So
I like that you've left Leno as vice captain. I look forward to seeing that develop for the season.
That's because I didn't think about changing my vice captain. I put, Haaland is captain. And then it's like, oh no, that's it. It's set now.
That'll work, though. I think that might work in your favour sometimes.
Maybe. We got 13 points the other week, so fair play.
Exactly.
I was really pleased. This is the thing, like, so obviously if you haven't played fantasy football before, in general, you know, you pick your team and everybody tries to either come up with one of their own or use like one of the many standard kind of like football puns and things that are out there to name their team. I tried to come up with something new each year. 1 year, my team was called Arsene Zipper.
Oh, yeah, solid. Yeah.
I was pleased with that. I can't remember what. Last season, it was Zinchenko Goal.
Yeah, that was.
I was very pleased with that. This year, I felt like I was.
It's a bit naff.
Yeah, this year I felt I was being really highbrow. Because obviously Arsenal have signed Declan Rice. There's loads of Rice baby teams. I wasn't having any of that. That's too easy. So I went for Of Rice and Men.
Funny enough, that's another... I mean, I'm not giving you credit for that because it's a terrible name. But,
I was so pleased with it.
I was talking to someone about a book last week, actually, of Mice and Men. And I mentioned about Curly keeping his hand in a glove of Vaseline. And nobody remembered that part. I was like, yeah, he kept this off for his wife.
I need to be honest here, Boz. I've never read the book.
Oh, haven't you?
No, I feel like it's when I was supposed to have done at school, but our year 11, our teacher for GCSEs, he didn't actually teach us anything. I think I mentioned him before. But I'm not very cultured. Anyway, FPL, if you, I mean, is it even worth inviting people to join our league, Boz? On the basis that we ask people to tweet us, email us, or whatever.
If anyone actually does sign on, that'd be funny. What is the code?
The code? Hang on, I sent it to you the other day, didn't I? Let me get the code. Until then, I'm going to sing everything like a musical interlude. Turns out we've actually messaged quite a bit since then. I'm having to sing way more than I was expecting to. Oh no, this has gone horribly wrong. Oh no, this was yesterday. When did you do your other team? I found it. Here we go. It's BYP, D for Delta, B for Bravo, F for Freddy.
Yeah, someone's going to.
I like the idea of just random. Somebody just popping up and us, they're never contacting us on through Instagram or anything like that on Twitter. Never saying a word to us in any way, but just joining our league and then probably winning it.
Oh, well, I don't think there's any danger of that, is it?
Yeah, no, there's no danger of that. Right, but that's it. That's the league. It's called the League of Kings, not Kings of anything.
It's ironic.
Watch the Bros documentary and you'll know where we're coming from. Boss, let's
that man's a king to me.
Let's move on. I wanted to get your view on the hearing in Congress in the USA on UFOs. That happened it's been going on over a few weeks and stuff. So
but this is news to me.
It wrapped up a few weeks ago.
This is news to me. I can't believe that Americans are having hearings on aliens in Congress.
So the premise of it is there's been kind of like that the US government have been kind of hiding like their kind of program that's about what they call UAPs rather than UFOs. So rather than unidentified flying objects, it's unidentified aerial phenomena. I guess that kind of gives it a broader spectrum, I suppose.
Hot air balloon.
But it's unidentified. Immediately it makes me think of the film Nope. Have you seen that?
Terrible film.
You thought it was terrible? I enjoyed it.
I thought it was dreadful.
I like a Jordan Peele film.
I liked, what was the other one they did?
Get Out.
Get Out. Get Out's brilliant. I haven't seen Us.
That's good.
I like it.
But because the kind of the UFO in that was kind of like, it's like a weird like big space fish thing, wasn't it? Like a
terrible film. Terrible
stingray squid thing. I don't know. So in this basically there's been this hearing. There's been lots of kind of like people who've got sort of like high level up in the military and government, US government stuff. There's lots of testimony about unexplained object sightings and government possession of non-human biological matter. Now, I've seen like there's loads of stuff like on like TikTok and stuff like that, where it's like that I've seen of like clips of people talking on podcasts and all sorts of stuff. And there's like one guy's like, and I'm going to show you some footage now. And it's like they're talking to this being, and you're like, and it's one of those things where I'm like, look, guys, if you want me to believe that aliens have landed and we've been communicating with them, you could at least have one in the video that doesn't look like every bog standard alien toy I've ever seen in my life. Like, used to get those little ones in like the eggs with the slime.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, 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 with the big eyes.
Yeah, it's like basically just look like that, like in a real dark room. Yeah, it's just like, come on, guys, this is silly. Yeah, now
people laugh this stuff up, mate.
I was saying to Mills earlier on about like some other conspiracy. It might have been about aliens or some. Yeah, it was about aliens actually. To mention that, and for me, like I'm like, look, I find a lot of these things interesting. I like the story, but I know that it's not real. Now, I said to you before, like, do I believe that out there in the universe there are, there are other life forms? Yeah, absolutely, because it's so vast. There's so many planets. It'd be kind of arrogant not to think that that's a possibility elsewhere. But do I think that there is a race on another planet who's that advanced that they've decided, oh, we're going to go here to Earth, and the only place they ever go is America? Do I believe that?
Something like that.
Yeah. Unless, you know, there's been an open casting call gone out, like, guys, we need all different aliens for our alien invasion film, and they're like, I fancy a bit of that. Then, you know, maybe that's what's going on. But it's that thing of like,
how does this get to Congress?
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's this big thing. There's a big thing going on there.
I think America's gone mental, don't you? In the last 10 years.
It's not just America, mate. It's the world. But
mainly America, though.
These are the five. These are five of the witnesses' main claims from the hearing, right?
Oh, go on.
That the US government is absolutely in possession of UAPs. So that's the unidentified aerial phenomenon. So they're...
Phenomenon.
Something like a phenomenon. That's so much singing. So they've got it. So this was David Grush. David Grush, a former US intelligence official, told the panel that he is absolutely certain that the federal government is in possession of UAPs, citing interviews he said he conducted with 40 witnesses over a 4-year period.
All right.
Okay. The former U.S. intelligence official said he led Defense Department efforts to analyze reported UAP sightings and was informed of a multi-decade Pentagon program that endeavored to collect and reconstruct crashed UAPs.
The
Concorde, was it a UAP? Who's to say? Maybe it was, but it wasn't.
Make believe in it.
Non-human biologicals were found at a crash site. Grush, who underscored that he has not personally spotted a UAP, told the panel that he knows of multiple colleagues who were injured by UAPs. He also said he has interviewed individuals who have recovered non-human biologicals from crashed UAPs. Grush said he prefers to use the term non-human rather than alien or extraterrestrial.
So it's like it could be a horse or a donkey or something.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, this kind of smacks to me a little bit like they're going, should we just wind up Grush? Going, yeah, let's do it. Because he's like, look, I haven't seen a UAP. And everyone else is going, I have. Have you seen a UAP? Yeah, no, I've definitely seen a UAP. Loads of them, in fact. What they're doing is where they crash land, they're just trying to using bits to rebuild, to make it their own one, so we can go and fly out there. And you know, we've seen like loads of bits of non-biologicals as well. So he's then like, oh bloody hell, this is true. It's happened.
So what are you saying? This guy's just gullible.
I don't know. But. There is an element of that. It could be. It would be amazing if it turned out they all came forward and went, we're just winding him up, but it's gone too far now.
The reality is, right? The reality is, what they're suggesting is, right, that all aliens have come to Earth, or unidentified
area of Long Island come to Earth. Yep. Always come into American flight paths and do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And the only people that see them are the United States government.
Yeah.
And
lunatics.
And lunatics, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a little bit. Like you say, there might be something out there. Possibly, probably is, right? But they ain't flying a little saucer to Washington, D.C., which ain't happening.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd bloody love it if there was aliens and they came to Earth. As long as they didn't want to wipe us out, mate, I'd be...
Yeah, but yeah, what if it's
more I'm well up stuff? For aliens.
What if it's more of the world stuff? That's probably.
Maybe. Maybe we were aliens.
Retirement.
Maybe we were aliens. We just don't remember.
It's like...
And the dinosaurs were having a lovely old time, and we came down and went, "I'm gonna live here," but they're a bit dangerous. Wiped them all out.
Because the one they usually say, "Oh yeah, there's that." And yeah, I've heard that one that aliens wiped out the dinosaurs, and the other one is the pyramids. Aliens made the pyramids. That's my favourite one.
I like that.
What do you mean you like it?
I just like that as an idea.
Yeah, but they didn't, did they?
But I like it as an idea.
Oh, right.
Because of the whole, because they're all like, oh, yeah, why is it that all pyramids, the different types of pyramids across the world, all like, are in this like particular constellation format or whatever? I don't know. I don't know.
Why would...
No one's going to give you an answer for that because nobody knows. Yeah. But when they go, maybe. Aliens did it. I'm like, yeah, I'm up for that.
So
I like that.
Let's think about this, right? Aliens have created technology that they can fly.
Yeah.
You know, probably hundreds of light years, thousands of light years, whatever. I don't know how far light years is, right?
Yeah.
But when they get to Earth, the only thing they can think to build is a stone pyramid.
Right. Now, I see what you're saying there.
I'm not saying the pyramids are not complex,
Let me put it to you in this way then. Humans are that advanced that they've managed to find ways to fly or drive great distances from inland out to the sea, and they take their families with them, their children, and then when they get there, all they can think to do is build a castle using a bucket.
So you were saying that aliens are basically visiting the beach and building castles.
Just on holiday. They've built some sandcastles and we'll keep them. They put that on top of where we put that dead guy.
That's as logical as it gets. You might be onto something here, actually. So basically, so they built it with the alien equivalent of a bucket and spade.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it's very much like the end of Men in Black when like the galaxy is a marble and they're just playing with it. Is that, yeah, why not?
And it's that little tiny alien.
But obviously the aliens were massive. That's why they could pick up all those things. Other people going, you go down to Cornwall and that, and there's just loads of little like piles of stones where people have been like doing like that pebble balancing and stuff. Stonehenge, mate, done it. They've come down and they've gone, can't make my sand pyramids. Right. I can't make these. This is useless, Dad. Why don't you make something out of those? Those rocks, see if you can make them balance. Yeah, right. I'm well good at this. Look at all that. Did some over here as well, little way away in Avebury, because they were massive.
Avebury's on the way down to...
It's just outside Swindon.
Yeah, it's on the way down to Dorset and all that, isn't it?
Yeah. So, like, there you go. I think we've solved it. One, aliens are massive.
So that's what you have to bring up in Congress next. Were aliens just visiting the beach?
Is Earth a holiday destination? If so, what are we doing about tourism?
It's pretty sandy in Egypt as well, in fairness. Huh?
It is, exactly. Exactly. If you think, like, if they're massive, like, then just, like, stepping out to, like, I don't know, is it the Red Sea, isn't it? That's easy. That's quick. That's, like, just nipping into the water. Oh, I'm going to come back, Cairo, like, where my towel is.
I don't think they know how they built the pyramids, or do they? I don't think they actually know.
No, because it's all, like, so massive. They're like, well, how on earth did they do that?
And it's very precise, isn't it?
Well, they say that is like, on, like, I think they managed to kind of say, like, okay, like, with these big stones, they've obviously, because they were taken from, like, hundreds of miles away, and then they're moved on, they're, like, cranked up onto logs, basically, and just transferred that way. Which seems like, you know, it's a logical kind of thing, but it's just a really long way to have done it. But then slavery was absolutely fucking huge back then. So, you know, if you weren't enough slaves, imagine what you can achieve.
If one of those stones slipped off a log, it'd be a nightmare to lift it up, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You're dead as well, aren't you? Let's be honest. They weren't worrying about the human rights record when they were building the pyramids.
No. Like the Saudi World Cup.
Yeah, it's just history. It's history washing. That's what that is. But yeah.
How did they get the top bit on?
Top bit? Hmm. Well, the aliens were massive, weren't they? So they just like a star on a Christmas tree.
I wonder how they did do it though.
Maybe it was a
lot of rope.
Yeah. A pulley system. A sophisticated pulley system. Sure, they must have had like a type of like scaffolding. They were like getting stuff up and winching things. And I mean, this is a terrible history lesson for anybody.
No, it's not.
But yeah, so I mean, there's not much point going on with the rest of them. But basically, you know, they're fast. Their craft are fast. It's a stigma associated with sightings that silences possible witnesses.
Of course, it's a stigma.
Everyone thinks you're mad. But maybe that's because they go, well, I saw one, and then they beam me up, and then for some reason, some stuff up my ass.
And that is
why with the ass? Why are they always shoving
that's
stuff
exactly
up your ass?
Because there was a South Park episode that did that, wasn't it?
They were experimenting on me. All right, well, did they take like hair samples, skin samples, anything like that? Nope, they stuck stuff up my ass. Like, why is that the go-to?
And why are they? Why,
well, they said the aliens are all sex tourists.
Why are they always from down south? They're always from down south, aren't they?
Yeah, because they're all like repressed, pretending they're not gay, and that's the only way that they can say, look, I'm gay, but only because these aliens did it to me.
Where you come from?
That's the other thing, like, oh, right, so basically what we're saying is, what we've arrived at is aliens come to the planet, they're massive, they make pyramids like sandcastles. Just come for a holiday, stick stuff up people's asses, and then leave. That's it. They've not, in all the years they've been coming over, building stuff, sticking stuff up people's asses, at no point have they gone, should we have a chat with them? See what they're all about?
They must be sitting back watching Congress talk about it, I think. We've gone big, you boys.
We've gone viral.
We've hit the big time here.
We finally gone viral.
We did it.
We've been sticking stuff up people's asses over here for so long. They finally snapped.
They're done. I just can't believe that with everything going on in the world, like, we got enough problems going on that they think it's a good time to talk about make-believe. It's mental. Could you imagine that over here? Could you imagine Parliament calling a session to talk about aliens?
It'd never happen over here, would it? There'd be a bro.
Well, this is the thing. Why is it only there that they've been talking about? Aliens?
Because they're pissing lunatics.
Parliament?
The thing is with American senators, though, if they can monetize an opportunity, they will. I know that's pretty cynical, but, you know.
News. The Mirror. UK must restart UFO hunt after Americans' claims of cover-up, expert says.
Oh, my God.
How can you be an expert?
Can you imagine Sunak coming out and saying he's invested in the UFO? No, it was an unidentified
UAP.
Yeah, a UAP program.
What, like?
Actually, mate, I'm struggling to pay my bills, my energy bills at the moment. Fancy sorting that out, sadly.
No, this is more important. Nah. There's people coming from another planet, shoving stuff up our asses, and then leaving again.
We're going to find alien.
We need to sort this out.
What's
the standard? I suppose it's a proper thick West Country accent, isn't it, for those who've been abducted in the UK? That's probably the voice, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
you'd have to go West Country, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think that's where it's happening. That's where they come when they come. They're just like the South Coast. They love Cornwall. Lovely seafood there. Love hearing the tales of King Arthur. Shove some stuff up people's asses. Off they go.
That's why you got Stonehenge in the southwest as well, see?
Just lent over. Because they're so massive, they just lent over. Pop that up.
What other things have we got in the UK that's kind of like that?
There's a little pyramid up in Scotland.
Is it?
Yeah.
Learn something new. What's it called?
Give me some seconds. Scottish pyramid. The secret Scottish pyramid. It's all over the internet. Nestled in the cosy woodland of Cairngorms National Park in the northeast of Scotland, the pyramid has a regal history unrelated to ancient Egyptians.
Huh.
There you go. Just in Cairngorms.
It's not
very big. It's made of bricks. I don't know. It
symbolizes Queen Victoria's love for Prince Albert after his death.
Nah, I reckon.
Aliens.
Somebody just aliens.
Sandcastles.
And look, there's a little like window thing there. I reckon inside hollowed out, just full of people. Like corpses of people, stuff up their asses.
Where's the window?
I'm pointing at it as if I've shared the screen with you. I haven't at all.
Oh, yeah. No, I can see the window. I can't see the window.
You got it? You got it there?
Yeah, that's impressive. I've not seen this before. It's in Glasgow, is it? Yeah, it's in Glasgow.
Yeah, outside,
yeah. Look.
Cairngorms National Park.
You learn something new every day, don't you?
Hey, mate. I'm just here to spread the word, teach you, guide you through this world. Yeah. Anyway, I've had enough of aliens now, Boz.
Yeah,
and their malarkey.
Just for the record, they haven't been here. And they didn't go to America.
They went to Egypt on holiday.
Yeah.
Got a dicky tummy, and then they never came back.
I can live with that.
Right. This next bit, I think we'll talk about this, and I can always put it in another episode if I want.
Yeah.
Boz, I found this thing on the internet. This is from a while back, in May.
You just did Deep South and Yorkshire in two words in a sentence.
Did I?
Yeah.
What did I say? I said Tinternet.
It's a thing.
Thing. I found this thing. Aunt Tinternet. Oh, yeah. Maybe they're the perfect match. Wonder what you would get if you crossed a northerner with someone from the deep south. What accent would come out? What would win? Anyway.
Continue.
So, Earlier on this year in New Jersey, there was, yeah, somebody discovered like something like 200 pounds of pasta just by the side of a river. Just huge, vast quantities of pasta, like piles of it. And they've gone to great lengths here to well, they've told us who's in there. There was alphabet noodles and spaghetti just left there. They've pointed out, just in case you were thinking it, there were no meatballs, no sauce included.
I mean, that's really disappointing, isn't it?
Just loads of pasta. Big old piles of pasta. You read through the articles. This is on NBC New York. You kind of read through, and they've gone big with all the different types of pasta puns.
Give me one.
Well, neighbors said that the oodles of noodles came from a nearby home that was up for sale.
Nice.
What's
the difference between pasta and noodles as well? Do you know?
Pasta's Italian, noodles are Chinese. I know. Well, pasta is egg and flour.
Yeah.
And
what's noodle?
Maybe it's just egg and flour. Whereas noodle, there are egg noodles, but there's also rice noodles as well. But then, to just, you know, mess with your head, Americans will call, like, lasagna sheets, they'll call that noodles.
Really?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Alright. Just so you don't know next time.
I'm telling you things I do know. But I'd say that there's like, noodles can be made from egg and flour or like rice flour. Whereas like pasta is made of specific wheat, I suppose. I think. Yeah. That's what I'm going with, Boz.
I think,
and that's the truth.
I think it's the same.
Do you want to hear some more of the like little puns
in?
So no matter the facts of the matter, the picture still went viral with captions saying things like, "The lead suspect is a man by the name of Al Dente."
That is nice.
Or don't forget his partner in crime, Lynn Guiney.
Very good. Very good.
Also, others wondered if whoever dumped the food will be sent to the penitentiary.
That's my favorite, actually.
So yeah, they've gone in on the pasta puns, and I appreciate it. I like it. I'm pleased they did it. What actually happened was, so the house was up for sale because the owner had died, and her son found that she was just hoarding all this pasta. She just chucked it out. He chucked it out dry, and then they had like some torrential rain. Obviously, it just soaked it all up, so it's just then gone from
Why was she hoarding all that pasta?
Well, do you know, it's funny you say that. So when COVID hit, and like my mum and dad still live in France in a little hamlet. There's only sort of six houses and stuff. Like the supermarket's like 20 minutes away, all that sort of stuff. But they have quite the store cupboard. And I remember asking my dad about, like, "Are you all right for food?" And he very proudly told me that he had 40 days worth of pasta in his cupboard. So
that's mental.
40 days worth of pasta. I've got 40 days worth of pasta there. I'm fine. It's like, all right, fair enough.
I'm surprised a lot of older people don't like pasta, do they? I find.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's something in my family, anyway. Hang on, his father eats pasta as well.
Who is it that dislikes pasta then? Your father-in-law and your dad?
And I would say Angad's mother as well. I wouldn't say she is a pasta fan. Yeah. Older people don't like pasta.
So based on three people that are older than you, you have decided that that means old people don't like pasta.
That's the conclusion I've come to, yeah.
It's like one of those, I don't know if you ever notice it, but like on those like eyelash, like mascara ads or like shampoo ads, and when they tell you like 70% of people think this is the best thing ever, and at the bottom it says like 75% of six people.
That's how far you cast your net with your sample size. What I think you do find with old people is like they like spaghetti bolognese and they like lasagna, but anything that's a little bit edgy.
But they don't like any of that foreign muck.
Yeah, none of that can't have a cannelloni or something like that. You know, that'd be cool. Or a macaroni. That'd be like, whoa.
It's for animals.
Yeah. That foreign muck. Yeah.
Oh.
And that brings us to the end of the show. Boz and I are recording again very soon, so we'll have another episode in the can and with you at some point. See, there's no promises of timescales there. If you have seen any weird news stories or anything, any weird goings on from around the world, just send them in to us. Twitter, at @BBPennyArcade. You can slide into our DMs on Instagram, also at @BBPennyArcade. Or drop us a long form email to BBPennyArcade@gmail.com. Just a thank you again to Carl Pleasant for our theme, Laurie Mallion for our artwork. And that's it. See you soon. Bye. Yeah.